for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2008 Deliverance Ministers Conference being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. This is Thursday morning, October the 30th, 2008. Ed Johnson is the speaker of this service, teaching on how demons enter, why demons leave. This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A.
He goes on to say that we have seen many leaders go into false doctrines. These can even be leaders that have cast out demons. I know that, and that's true. They went into false doctrine. One while ago, when I said, don't go out on your own, don't go out being self-ordained on the limb by yourself. There's a lot. If you go and put demons in and Google it, there's a lot of error out there. That's why we have our elders. We can go to our Glenn Meadows. We can go. Look, I'm going to tell you, I have wore the phone out between Guatemala and Beaumont, Texas. You can ask. I mean, I know how to dial that international number. And Brother Norman comes on, and I say, Brother Norman, I got a problem in what I do. And then he'll start telling me what to do. Or, Brother Norman, I just found this book that one of my people gave me, and they're not sure. And I said, I started reading, and I'm not sure. And I said, I need some advice on this. I said, it looks right. I said, that's the way the devil does. It'll look good, but he'll put in a little deception. A little bit of leaven will spoil the whole loaf. But if you're a baby Christian, you don't spot the leaven. And now you disseminate it, and you start spitting it out as fact. And that's what happens to these people that are out there by themselves. And that's why that's dangerous. You need to, before you pick up a new book, go to your elder, your upline, and say, what do you think? I sent one book up to him last year. He said, send it up here, or down here. Guatemala's down, isn't it? Okay, but I'm up. I said, okay, so I sent it to him, and he read it a little bit, and he said, you know, Ed, he said, you were right. He said, don't let, I wouldn't let just your regular group read it. It's all right for the leaders to read it, but, you know, there's some, and I said, okay. Don't nobody to read it. What do we need? Anyway, you need that. We got over then. Okay, we've seen many leaders go into false doctrine, get off on rabbit trails. These can even be leaders that cast it. It appears that pride is their downfall. That demon of pride is one of the ruler demons of all the demons. Pride is an abomination to God and is an active demonic area. Now, if it's all right with y'all, I'm going to slip this coat off. I'm going to give you 20 things, and before we do that, let's pray a little bit. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I bind all preconceived religiosity demons. You cannot operate. I bind anything that would hinder our hearing our mind, hearing. I bind all preconceived notions. I bind all false doctrines that any era in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we bind everything that opposite we loose. We loose opposite everything we bind. So we loose that our minds and our hearing, and not only that we'll be able to hear and we'll be able to receive, but we loose that we will retain what we hear and what we see. I call these 20 warning signals. 20 warning signals. If you display some of these characteristics, what's that old redneck story? You might have a problem. You know, to have a... If you see any of these in you or your spouse, oh, I see the wife back there going, oh, well, me and my spouse. Oh, okay. It's funny when Chris said that last night. Boy, my wife's the same way. I think all women are. They can tell you what you did wrong. And it's probably better for me that she didn't come this time. She really did want to go. My wife tells you that she's really sorry she wasn't able to make it. Her job wouldn't allow her. All right. These characteristics, I want you just to look at them close. If you feel something kind of percolating in there when I mention one or two of these, or maybe it's a family member or something, it's a good indicator that they might have a demonic problem. Pray about it. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal it to you. Number one, confused or disordered thinking. Confused or disordered thinking. Loss of touch with reality. Delusional, persistent, or erroneous conviction in the face of contrary evidence. You've seen people that they're going to stick by it no matter what, the rigidity. And they're showing in black and white that that's wrong. And they know. Okay, that's the time. Hallucinations. And disconnected speech. Number two, obsessions. Obsessions. That's absorption with a subject or idea to the exclusion of all others. Compulsions. And uncontrollable urges. Now, this pastor I told you about at Worley Church, he told us later that when that demon of pornography came on him, and the Lord's just telling me that there's some here with this problem. When that demon of pornography came on, that was an uncontrollable urge, and he had to do it. Number three, inability to cope. The slightest little pressure can't cope. Even with minor problems or even with the daily routine. Number four, difficulty in making and keeping friends. You know, you make a friend and then before you know it, something happens, a little spat or whatever, and you just can't never seem to have a real friend. Or poor social skills. Isolation. Withdrawal from society. See people with agoraphobia. A good term is a demon called agoraphobia. It means a person who can't afraid to get out. You know, we don't believe in psychiatry, but some of them psychiatric terms, the demons know them. You can use them to get them out. Loner lifestyle. You see somebody with a loner lifestyle, you know they've got a problem, a demonic problem. Five, a pattern of failure across the board. That pattern of failure, it most likely might have even developed in school. Maybe all through school, you would join the baseball team and you would make some of the workouts and then you dropped out and somebody said something, you got mad, but you never could go through. You see people with that characteristic. That's demonic, folks. If that's one of your children or your grandchild, but they never can complete. That also, a pattern of failure also goes in personal relationships. Six, prolonged or severe depression. Depression. Depression is suicidal for that folks. It is a demon. It is a demon spirit. And depression and suicide go together. And one of the brothers that was here, his wife, I see him back there. She has a prophetic ministry where the Lord has allowed her, they shared this with me the other night, the Lord has allowed her to see the demonic realm. The Lord's never let me do that. I've dealt with a lot of them, but I've never seen one actually sitting there. I don't know what I'd do if I did. I might jump. But I don't think I would, no. But I'd have to do some serious thinking. And she detected some suicide demons in a church. The Lord does that to certain people. And I've known six people closely that committed suicide. And I tell you, when that demon comes in, all darkness goes around, a cloud of darkness. And that little voice will tell them that nobody loves you. Go ahead and do it. You need to rebuke that in the name of Jesus. Now get out of here. I won't entertain you. I won't have you around. All right. Immaturity, number 7. Infantile behavior. We also call that arrested development demon. Such as bedwetting, overdependence on the mother, excessive clinging as a little child. But then what really is, you can see is continued dependence when they get on up in their teens and even when they get up into their 20s. And they still continue to depend on mama. See, by that, by the time they get up in their 20s, you know, they should have had that. So if you see that clinging, there's a demonic problem there that needs to be taken care of. And another key factor there, especially a lot of us have grandchildren now. Some people still have small children too. But a failure to keep pace with their own peer groups. See, God has got it set up where at a certain age, you know, when you're a baby, what you have to have somebody stick a bottle or you have to have milk. You can't do it yourself. And then when you get on up to about 6 months old, what mama starts giving you some little canned peas, but they're mashed up. And then when you get a little bit older, they'll give you some of that potted meat-looking stuff, but it's still not chunky because you could get all choked up on that, couldn't you? And then when you get a little bit bigger, though, like get up a year, then you can get some real meat. And then you get real meat and potatoes, don't you? And then when you get to be a year older or so, you start jumping up and climbing up and you start walking, don't you? But you had to crawl first, didn't you? First you was laying in the bed. You couldn't do nothing but flip around. That's normal development. And by the time you go to school, you should be doing certain things. By the time you get in the sixth grade, you should be doing certain things. So that's a key sign that there's a demonic problem if you see a child that's having a problem in that area. Number 9, a series of physical ailments. Number 8. A series of physical ailments. A series of physical ailments. Always getting sick. And many times, they don't even run a typical course. And usually they even fail to respond to treatment. A hypochondriac demon. It's a good sign. There's a demonic problem there. Number 9. Neglect of your personal hygiene. You walk by somebody and, woo-wee, you know? I was in the Army in 1958. We had a guy named Wiggins from Arkansas. And everybody knows Wiggins had never taken a bath. And you're getting out there and you're in the mud and you're in the dirt and you come in, you're supposed to take a shower. Well, Wiggins didn't take no shower. He was from somewhere up in Arkansas. Back then, Arkansas seemed like a million miles. I'm in Arkansas now. Lord, I didn't even realize that when I said that. I'm not trying to offend any Arkansasians. I know you're not all like Wiggins was. But it went on and it went on. And so finally, the sergeant, the first sergeant got involved and he told him Wiggins got to have a GI party. Now, some of you might not know what a GI party is. But before that, I'll never forget. And this is before the Lord. So, Lord, forgive me for this. But anyway, they asked me to find out for sure whether he'd take a bath. Because some said, well, maybe he slipped in when other ones did it. Maybe he slipped in when other ones, and so none of us seen him. You know. So they asked me, they said, do you think you can find someone in there? And I just sat down. I said, and I don't remember how I did it, but I started something like, no, Hannah, well, back home, we didn't take a bath a lot of times, but just once a week. Just took a bath on Saturday. And he said, you think that's something? We never did take a bath in my home. I said, you didn't? He said, well, in the summertime, when it got nice and warm, we'd go swimming in the lake. But no, we don't believe in taking baths. Now, that's a demon. That's a demon. We didn't know nothing about demons back then. But anyway, when I told them that, they went to the sword. And the sword said, well, GI's part of the... They take these brushes with brown bristles. And I didn't get involved in this part, but I did have an instigation. So, Lord, please forgive me for doing what I did. But anyway, the man did need to take a bath. Well, they got in there and put him in the shower, stripped him off, and they soaked him down, and they scrubbed him with them hard bristle brush. That's called a GI washing, for some of you that don't know what that is. And I believe you this, every day from there on, he took a bath. That broke him. Yeah. Yeah. He took a bath. But anyway, if you see anybody that neglects hygiene, that's a sign of disheveled or unsanitary surroundings or exaggerated concern for order and cleanliness. You say, well, that don't even sound the same. It isn't the same. It's directly the opposite. Remember, I'm telling you, demons are bipolar. They don't care. Now, when I was in college at Lamar University, they put me on the debate team. And I was a little afraid to get up in front of people back in those days. Never had to do that. But I came out of a Baptist Catholic background. Sounds weird, but sometime when you hear my testimony, it'll come clear. But at that time, I was a practicing Catholic for 20 years. And so one thing about being a Catholic was I was opposed to abortion. So that was going to be one of the deals. So I said, oh, boy, this is good. Man, I'll get the coordinator and I'll get the... So I was telling the professor right off the bat, I said, well, Ed, what's your feeling on abortion? Oh, I told him, oh, I'm against it. It's wrong. It's not right. And the Pope said it's wrong. It's got to be wrong. And and he said, okay, you're on the other side. I said, no! He said, yes, you're on the other side. I don't want to be on the other side. I want to be on this side. No, you're on the other side. And I had to get on the other side. Now, that's hard to do. I had to go and I had to research everything why you should have an abortion. God, forgive me for that. But I got an A in the course. You know, sometimes you have to do things with these professors, but you don't have to believe it. See? But that's what the demons do. The demons are a debate group. They don't care which side they're on. They just want to mess you up. See, so they'll jump either side. So you can have one extreme is unsanitary, so bad, and you can have the other extreme is just as tidy, tidy, tidy. Everything's got to be perfect. So a balance is what God wants for us, folks. He, not extreme. That's a key sign when you got extremism. Either way. Number 10. Difficulty adjusting to new people and places. You're intimidated to go into new people. You're intimidated about new places. That's a sign. There's a problem there. Number 11, undue anxiety and worries. Worry about everything. Old Chicken Little, sky's falling. Just worry, 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 worry. All right? Phobias. Phobias. Anybody that's got a phobia, that's you just know that's a key there. If you're afraid to walk under a ladder, if you have to throw that salt over your shoulder every time you knock over, believe me, that's demonic. If you're afraid of black cats that come in front of you, that's a phobia. Now, how do demons get in? By opening doors. They can't get in if you don't open the door unless they come in through the curse of the family line. And that's another we'll talk about. I'm sure we'll have time to talk about it. But remember a while ago I said you're in a contract with Yeshua HaMashiach, our Lord. Now, contract is between you and him. That's between two parties. He does his part of the party. You do your second part of the party. As long as we both do our parts of the party, everything's fine and copacetic. It's fine. If one of us breaks our part of the contract, the covenant, then it can become null and void. It allows the other person to not be obligated. Jesus is not going to mess up his side. So the only side that can, and now on the earthly reign, both sides can mess up, but not in this side. In this side, only you can mess up. How do you mess up? How do you break part of the agreement? You break part of the agreement by not following Jesus' rules that He's outlined for you. And it goes back to, oh, my people, you should die for lack of knowledge. If you don't know the rules, it's not His fault. You got a free will. God gave you a free will. And that free will gives you the opportunity. You do not have to follow God. Did you know that? He will not force you. You don't have to follow God. But I'm telling you what, if you don't, you open the door, you've got demons, you've got curses. Amen? Alright. That was number 10. Difficulty adjusting to new people and places. Number 11. Did I do number 11 already? Alright, number 12. Here we go back to the bipolar thing. Too much or too little sleep. Either you're sleeping all the time, you know people doing that, or they sleep 3 hours and they're awake at 2 o'clock in the morning. It's a good indicator that you've got problems, a demonic problem. 13, excessive self-centeredness. Excessive self-centeredness. Might want to call that a Napoleonic complex. Indifference to other people's feelings and doings. Can't relate whenever other people have problems or their ideas. A total lack of sympathy with another's pain or need. I worked with another fellow named was Cappy. That was just a nickname. Cappy, when he went to a oneness church, he had a form of godliness. You know people that go to oneness, I mean, they don't smoke, they don't drink, they don't even watch TV. I mean, so you know, he was strong as a mule. He could pick a Volkswagen up, half of the Volkswagen up with his hands. And we always was marveling at him. But he had this funny little quirk thing. I worked 31 years for PPG Industries. And it's a chemical plant. And I was in the safety department. And my job was, I was head of fire and safety. And Kathy, we had a lot of 8 and 12 pound moths. And you had to beat these legs, they called them. And you had to hit chisels. And it was hot. And it was sweaty. And it was dusty. And it was dirty. And I also was in charge of first aid. And when one of them slipped and busted his leg open, they brought him to me and I had to administer first aid. So I had to go through. Oh, I was the first aid instructor there for over 20-something years. Taught CPR and Helmuth maneuver and all that stuff. But anyway, when somebody would get hurt and bust their hand up, and I had to send them to the hospital and get stitches and all that, Cappy, in uncontrollable fits of laughter, would just bust out laughing. And he couldn't help it. And he said, you cut your hand open, or whatever it was. But that's what he's talking about. You can't have compassion. And he didn't want to do it. It actually embarrassed him. But that's the sign of a demon. He said, but I thought he was real religious. Hey, there's religious demons. They're just as bad as people that's on the other way. Remember the bipolar thing. It can be both sides of the spectrum. All right, what was that number? 13. Number 14. Substantial weight gain or weight loss. Rapid weight gain or weight loss. That's another sign. And not because they're on a diet or anything. Just a rapid weight gain and weight loss. And there's no explainable reason for it. Number 15. Muted, flat emotions. What is a muted, flat emotion? That's no emotion at all. That's somebody that no matter what happens, they just don't even react. Now, Cappy went the other way, didn't he? He went crazy whenever there was something bad. This is the type of person that's static. Somebody's cut open over here, and there's no emotion about it. That's another sign. Bipolar, man, switches both ways. Such as absence of angry, delighted, soaring reaction to stimuli, inappropriate emotions. Cappy had inappropriate emotions, didn't he? Sharp, inexplicable mood wings. I mean, you didn't know what was going to set them off. You know, and it was just fine before that. And silliness at serious moments. Or it could be the other way. Unpredictable tears. Just start bawling over anything. Number 16. A negative self-image. A negative self-image. An outlook. An inferiority complex. Or a feeling of worthlessness. You need to pray for that person. Cast that demon. That is definitely a negative self-image. It's a demonic thing, and it can be attacked. We've had some dealings with them. And once you get that out of them, they can just flourish and just be so normal. And you say, golly, well, I remember them when they first came in. Oh, that's what makes you feel good. What makes you feel good is the successes. Now you get upset on the failures. So I'm not going to give you just a painted picture here. There's failures too. We had a young man come in. I'll never forget him. I mean, he manifested immediately, got embarrassed, left, never came back. See? And you always say, oh, that's so sad. But you know what? He has the right to do that. We're not going to go get him and tie him down and make him stand in here. Then we could maybe get in trouble for being a cult, see? It's got to be... They've got to want it. All right. Number 17. Frequent random changes of plans. Inability to stick with a job. I know some people that's been, and I'm sure the pastors here can tell you they've counseled with people, and they can't hold a job. They'll work at a job a year or so, and they'll get in an argument with somebody, and they done quit. Time they're 45 years old, they done work 10 different jobs. Don't have a pension with nobody. How many people have y'all seen like that? That's a demonic thing. You know, counseling is fine, but if you don't have the counseling coupled with deliverance, it's not going to do them any good. You've got to get that demon out. Then you're going to get problems. Then you counsel them and show them how to put stuff in there to take the place where those demons go. And that comes with experience of learning what to do. Okay. But 17 still, inability to stay with a job, or maybe it might even be in your grandchild's school program. They can't stay with that. Or it could be even living arrangement. They'll stay in a house for a little while and they don't move. I know a couple right now that they've, in the last year, moved to about 7 different apartments. You know, and you think, man, well, that's a good sign. You know, I mean, if you can't find an apartment to live in 1 year, you got to go to 7 different ones. There's probably something's working here. You know, so another thing is people that have a failure to keep appointments. That's a sign, clear sign, failure to keep appointments. Or failure to abide by decisions. They make a decision, but they have a failure. They can't abide by the decision. Another key sign. You know, before you make a decision, you should pray about it. You should get firm. But then you should be firm enough to stick by it. So, number 18. Extreme aggressiveness. Combativeness. Hostility. Violence. Rage. Or exaggerated docility. Now see, it's just the opposite here. We're showing that bipolar thing. Extreme meanness, combativeness, high testosterone factors, want to fight, or it can go to the opposite way. Oh, poor me, extreme docility. Get in a corner and hide somewhere. Nobody see me. Look for that. Any lack of normal competitiveness in self-assertion, in refusal to confront. You know, certain times when somebody tells you to do something that's wrong, a refusal to confront, that's just as bad because you don't have enough gumption to say, well, no, that's wrong. Avoidance of arguments. Now, we're not supposed to argue with everybody. You can go over the board and be argumentative. That would be the other side. But then again, there is times when, what did Jesus do whenever He went up to that temple? Do you remember that, what He did? Do you remember when He was back here? Do you remember what He did? He reached down here. What did He do? What did He do, Chris? He reached down here and picked something up, remember? And He tied a little knot here in the end. Three little things. Remember, there's three little cards. Remember what He started doing? Now, He's way back here. And He starts plaiting them. You remember when you used to plait your hair when you were little girls and take them pigtails? He started plaiting that, didn't He? He's plaiting that thing up, isn't He? Boy, He's getting right up here now, isn't He? He's coming right up here to these steps, isn't He? He's fixing to talk to these guys, isn't He? He's fixing to tell them what's what. He's fixing to tell them cow to cow eats cabbage. And whoop, what's He doing with that thing? I don't know about y'all, but my mama used to take a little peach tree, and that hurts them little tiny things like that. So, it was hurting. They were scattering too, wasn't they? Go back and read that sometime. Look what Jesus did. All right, what was that? 18? 19. Risk-taking. Risk-taking. They had a guy that Daddy worked with. Dad was the chief engineer at Gulf Oil in Port Arthur for many years before he retired, 40 years of service. And I remember him telling me about this guy. They called him Speedy. And everybody liked old Speedy because Speedy would do anything. He'd walk out on a beam. Three stories up here, old Speedy just walk out on that beam. Oh, and everybody'd say, oh, look at Speedy. Speedy, go out there and get that bucket. No, we got to get the crane around and get the rig and get up there. But not Speedy. Oh, Speedy, just do this, boy. Everybody liked him. So Dad said they were out there. They had a big D9 Caterpillar. You know what I'm talking about. It has big tracks on it, like a tank. And a guy was up there, and he was running that diesel motor, couldn't hear. And the foreman's down here, and he's trying to tell the guy up there something. He's hollering at him, and he can't hear him. Speedy said, I'll go tell him. He said, okay, Speedy, go do it. And Speedy ran around to the back of that track right there, and he started up on the top just as he did. And that guy put it in reverse. Speedy was like a flat piece of paper. Stayed out there half a day till they kicked the corner and all that out there. Folks, it will catch up with you. That's risk takers. A very, very key sign of demonic entity. You remember when Jesus was on that mountain and Satan came up to him? What did Satan tell him? Satan, just jump off of this mountain. Ain't no problem. Just jump off down there. The angel's going to catch you. Jesus said, you don't tempt Lord God. Don't tempt the Lord God. Praise the Lord. Well, we're not going near as much as I want. But anyway, we're covering a lot of good stuff here, Lord. Now, she was wanting to know, what did I tell her? How can a Christian have a demon? Just a few little things here. How can a demon spirit indwell the same body at the same time? This is another quote from Gene Moody. As the Holy Spirit does. Lord, we just ask that if we step on somebody's toe, just Lord, ask that to open up the door. The New Testament's word for spirit is pneuma. P-N-E-U-M-A. That's where we get the term pneumatic tools, gas, air, without substance, pneuma. Now that is the word for spirit. Now in contradistinction from the natural soulish, the spirit is that part of man which has the ability to grasp and perceive divine things. Now, don't look this up, but just write it down in the margin. 1 Corinthians 2:14, and go back later and look that up. Now, the word for soul, that was 1 Corinthians 2:14, I meant. I think I said something different. 1 Corinthians 2:14. And that will show you the spirit. Now, the soul, the word for that is psyche. Psyche, P-S-Y-C-H-E. This word defines the self-life. It defines the emotion, the intellect, and the will. Paul shows man as a threefold being. Write this down. threefold being, and look at 1 Thessalonians. Do that tonight sometime. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Now we see that the Scripture teaches that prior to salvation, when you were with an old man before, prior to salvation, a man is dead to trespasses and sin. So dead to trespasses, write down Ephesians 2:1. Go back and read that sometime. So Jesus comes into the human spirit and brings in His life, 1 John 5, 11 and 12. Brings in His life, 1 John 5, 11 and 12. So Jesus has made adequate provisions, has He not, for the whole man. But, Jean goes on to say, part of the responsibility now rests upon us, as is shown in Philippians 2:13 through 15. Chapter 2:13-15. And when you go back and read that, you're going to see that it's going to talk about that contract. And it has two parts, remember? Both of you got to do your part. So, see, that's our responsibility. We have to be responsible. All right. Oh, I'm sorry. Number 20 was lack of zest and enthusiasm. Lack of zest and enthusiasm. This is usually a person you will notice that they're listless, or they're always sad. Their mood is just habitually down. They see the glass is half empty. Everything's negative for them. And many, many times these people, you'll notice that they have a total, either a very limited, or they have a total missing sense of humor. They just have no sense of humor a lot of times. A lack of zest and a lack of enthusiasm. Okay? Now, we're going to see that. I don't know if y'all have a Thayer's Lexicon, but it's a very important tool. You should have a Strong's Concordance. We do a lot of word studies with our group. We teach how to do a word study. You get your Strong's and your Young's Concordance, your lexicon. You can take the subject. Yes. Okay. THAYER. Thayer's Lexicon. Thayer's Lexicon gives the word salvation in this particular message right here we just talked about as soteria. S-O-T-E-R-I-A. And it gives the primary meaning of the word deliverance from the molestation of enemies. So the picture becomes clear. Jesus has delivered our spirit from the power of Satan. But now He says to us, you must work out your own deliverance from the molestation of the enemies until you have freed both soul and body. And that's a direct quote from Brother Gene. And like I said, that red book back there, you can, there's just much, a wealth of information. You still have to be under that mentorship, but you get that and the Holy Spirit, and you can just be amazed what you can get done. What are some of the results of demonization of Christians when it's denied? I'm telling you what, there's a lot. False teachings are perpetrated by the erroneous and unscriptural position that believers cannot have demons or be affected by demons. Remember that I told you about the first one? They didn't even talk about them. It was something way off. Didn't even know they existed. Now, there's a penalty to those people that are doing that. Some of them, whether they're doing it out of ignorance because they went to their doctrine, the denominational doctrinal group, and it tells them what to do and what to say, and they can't break from that. We had a real big church there in north of Beaumont, Baptist church, brother there, Southern Baptist church, and the pastor got the Holy Ghost. This was 26 years ago. And we had visited his church, and so I got all the information, and he sent me letters and stuff like that. Well, once they found out about it, and then it busted out. When the pastor got it, then before you know, the congregation was getting it, and they were still going and knowing everybody, and they had one lady there. One time we went, and the left leg was about that much shorter, and it just went out. And miracles was taking place. Just wonderful moving and outpouring of God. And I'll never forget the brother, he sent me the letter, and he showed me a copy of it, and Southern Baptist said, "Y'all will stop immediately or else." And so it was the or else. They didn't stop. They're still going strong up there. So, praise the Lord. Who's a believer? We got one back there. All right. Yeah, praise the Lord. You know, so many promises are given to those that are believers in the Bible. We see promises all over. So it is important to know what the Bible classifies as a believer. Who is a believer? In the Greek, believe indicates one who relies on Jesus for salvation. In Acts 5:14, the word means unadulterated trust in our Lord and Savior. That's Acts 5:14. Unadulterated trust is what it means. But in 1 Timothy 4:12, it means trueness to entrust. Trueness to entrust. One's spiritual faith, assurance, and well-being. I'm going to give you a quick little checklist, and y'all go look these up. A believer, remember what I said about head knowledge, but not heart knowledge? Just because somebody tells you they're a Christian or this, that, and the other, a lot of people can say they're a Christian. Right? I could say I was a duck, couldn't I? I could get down there, I can't do it anymore. You know, when I was at Fort Chaffee going through basic training, Mr. Wiggins was at my next place. But we had every day, we had to go out to PT, and we had to squat down on our little ankles, and we had to do this. And we had to do a duck walk. And we had to quack. We had to go, quack, quack, quack. And we had a big, around a whole football field, quack, 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 quack. Yeah, I can say I'm a duck. I can quack all day long. Does that make me a duck? I'm not no duck. Okay. You go around saying, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian. That don't make you no Christian. I'm going to give you these scriptures right here. This is a checklist for a believer. You must bear fruit. Write down John 15:2, and he says, signs will follow. You can read the whole thing later. No, I'll tell you what. Where are we at, Lord? Ooh-lee, loo-lee, loo, Lord. Lord. Time goes fast when you're having fun, don't it? I'm going to go to John. Is he more looking? John 15:2. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he will take us away. And every branch that bears fruit, he will prune, that it may bear more fruit. Do you like to get pruned? I imagine when you prune that tree, it probably goes, ouch! But guess what? It's better for it, isn't it? Because once you prune that in the natural, you prune that, what happens? New growth comes out. So sometimes you have to be pruned, don't you? All right. Must bear fruit. Now, let's go to Mark 16:17. We should all know this one. But all right. Mark 16. And we're going to read 17 and 18. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. and they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them, and they shall lay hands on the sick, and then they shall recover. Now that is our mandate. It's what we are to do. The fivefold ministry is Luke 4:18. By the way, if you're some people might have some discussion there. I hope I'm not stepping on anybody's toe. Dr. Steve Call, I saw two of them back there earlier. The fivefold ministry, Dr. Steve Call, is an excellent book. When I read that book, it changed my whole thinking about what the fivefold ministry was. Very in-depth and a real good book. Now, what is he telling us here? Well, why don't we go out there to North Carolina and go into one of those holy roller meetings and pick us up a rattlesnake and stick it around our neck? Why don't we do that? That's what he just said. Take up serpent tongue. Is that what he's saying? Why don't we pick up some arsenic and drink it? They do that out there in North Carolina, don't they? Y'all probably seen some of the documentaries as well as I have. See, they've taken this totally without taking the whole word. You can't just take one verse out and not have the other things to balance it out and show you what God's really saying. And the best thing to do is Jesus on the mountain, and when the devil tells him to jump off, he says, you don't tempt the Lord your God. What he's talking about here is that, like Paul, when they had the shipwreck, and Paul is throwing the fire on there, and the viper comes and bites him, and that's evidently that particular viper was sure death. Because they all went back and said, "Whoo, you're a dead man walking. Oh, Lord, dead man walking. Here comes Paul." Paul said, "Don't worry, let's just get some more wood and come on." Didn't kill him, did it? He's talking about if you're accidentally poisoned, if you're accidentally bitten by a snake, then I will protect you. If you're a believer, if you're one of my covenant children, I'm going to get you through it. You may get a little sick too and all that. That's what he's talking about. Don't tempt the Lord my God. And I tell you, every year some of them people out there die. And I've heard tales that a lot of times they put them in a refrigerator so they won't be... I don't know. And I don't even want to know. Because it's totally demonic. And it ain't got nothing to do with Jesus. All right? Now, let's go back to John 14:12. John 14:12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do. And also, in greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Now that's the sign. That's the fruit. If we're doing this, then we've got the full fruit of Jesus. If we're leaving part of this out, and we're not exhibiting the fruit. Okay? John 15:7. If you abide in me, and my word abideth in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. Amen? If you abide in me, if you abide in me, if you abide in me. He didn't say just ask and you're going to get it. If you abide in me, if you abide in me, ask and ye will get it. Now in the natural, and then you've got to use this perspective too. You've got to read all the different scriptures. But in the natural, you've got your child at home and you're the daddy or the mommy, and they want something that's detrimental to them. And they want it. They want it bad. They want some demonic game to go on the TV. Mommy, please, I want that game. Everybody else has got it. It's on the TV. I want it. Mommy, I want that game. It's demonic. No, you can't have it. See, mommy knows best. You don't always get what you ask for. So you have to realize you can ask, but you're going to receive it if it's God knows that it's good for you. If it's in God's will. Okay? You just can't ask for anything unless... All right, God, let's look at John 15:14. You are my friends, and if you do whatever I command you. You are my friend if you do what I command you. If you don't do what God commands you to do, then you're His enemy. There's a fence here, folks. And there ain't no agnostic sitting in the middle of the fence. I can tell you that. You're either on that side of the fence or you're on Jesus' side of the fence. And there ain't no in between. All right. Thank you, Lord. Hoo-wee. Oh, Chris. Hey, what'd you do last night? I know it. I know it. Let me see here. Let me see here. Yeah, I know it, brother. I was thinking I had it. All right. We got 5 minutes, so let's do this real quick. I want you to command, take charge daily. This is how the believer will serve his and his Father in power and in Satan, against Satan. Now let's say a little prayer here. We're going to close with a few little prayers. And we're going to start getting some of these things. We're going to start taking authority over them. Just repeat after me. Father, I come to you in the name of Lord Jesus. I take authority over Satan and all his evil spirits from my position at the right hand of the Father, seated above every name that is named in the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, I bind the strong man over the worldwide organizations, such as the Masonic Order and bloodless religions, Catholic Church, false religions, communist empires, godless governments, Illuminati, Council of Foreign Relations, Trilateral Commission, One Worldwide Union, Longshoremen, UAW, Teamster, World Council of Churches, America, Common Market Nations, Canada and Mexico, any religious, political, social, or other organization that has practices that are contrary to the Holy Bible. I want you just to notice a little bit that every organization has a demonic power over it. Every denomination and organization has a demonic ruler over it. And I told that little couple just a couple of days ago on that religious group, I said, before you try to talk to your little sister and your little brother-in-law, you need to bind that religious order up, the strong man, and then loose that they'll be able to receive the deliverance ministry. You're not fighting flesh and blood. You're fighting principalities. You're not fighting some denominational church. You're fighting the principality that is controlling that denomination. Now, say another little prayer. We got 3 minutes. In the authority of Jesus Christ, I take authority over all foul and evil spirits, authorities, princes, kings, powers, world rulers, and highest and mightiest servants of Satan. I bind them to be powerless in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Father, in the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pronounce the judgments written in the Scriptures upon the evil and greedy conspirators in and over these worldwide organizations. As it is written, Father, I ask you to bring upon them the judgments found. Now, if you want to write these down, you can. Psalms 1:4. Go back and check this out. Isaiah 41:11-12. And Jeremiah 17:5-6. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Well, Lord, we're going to close out there. Right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we do close out. Lord, we ask the angels to come in and to go in and any strong man that we talked on, that is gone, any demonic spirits that are gone, We just ask the angels to take them wherever God wants them. We just want them out of here. We want them out of us. We want them away from us in Jesus' name. Now, Lord, we just loose angels to go in there. And everywhere, you know, it says if they come back and there's a house that's swept clean and there's nothing in there. You know, swept clean means there ain't got nothing in there, does it? If it's swept clean, there ain't nothing in there. What do we want to do whenever we get all the demons out of that house? We need to put some Jesus furniture back in there. Let's put some Yeshua HaMashiach couch over here. Okay, let's put an armoire over here. Let's put all that, because when they come back, we want them to be full of Jesus. Then they can't come back in. That's something that I started doing. I feel the Holy Ghost told me to do it. Is I put a shield around our whole little congregation. And this shield is a little different. It's a hedge, it's a shield. But I've asked the angels to make the outer wall of this hedge, this shield, impenetrable by the demonic kingdom. And I've asked him for the angels to come and make, you know, walls have two sides. You have an outer wall and you have an inner wall. The inner wall is semi-impermeable. And all the demons that are in us that come out, they can go out through the semi-impermeable wall, but they can't turn around and they can't come back in. It's a one-way trip for them. Brother Chris remembers the one-way in. That's where they first started. That was the name of their little church, one-way in. Well, this is one way out in the name of Jesus. We all agree with that? Amen and amen. Brother Chris, thank you.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.